All right, everybody. Welcome to the Battle of the Brothers, BYU versus Utah football podcast, where two brothers, one a true blue BYU Cougars fan, the other a diehard Utah Utes fan, battle it out about BYU Cougars and Utah Utes football. It's the blue versus the red, the Pepsi versus the Coke. I'm your host, C Double. So let me introduce you to our battling brothers. All right, our BYU fanboy here is TC, and our Utes fan is K Ray. So let's jump right into it. TC, give us some background on how you became such a devoted BYU fan.
Yeah, so my brother and I both grew up in Oklahoma, and that was right around the age when we were kind of starting to pay attention to sports. And, you know, in Oklahoma, college football is king. They don't have a professional team or anything like that. So we really got hooked and moved around a little bit after the initial years there in Oklahoma, ended up going to BYU and just kind of fell in love with the program there. And, you know, I can tell you my fandom has only grown since going to school there, because everybody kind of associates you with the university that you attend. And it's kind of become part of my identity. Look, I live out east. BYU is a national brand. People recognize it. And I'll get the first dig in and say, you know, when my brother visits and he has the Utah sticker on, you know, people think it's the Redskins or something. Nobody recognizes it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're talking about the Utes logo with the feather. Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right. Well, that's understandable. All right. Well, we have our first dig in. So, K Ray, tell us how you ended up bleeding red for the Utes.
Yes. So, let me get this straight. In the Washington, D.C. area, people see a drum and feather and they think of the Redskins before the Utes. That's shocking. That is really surprising. Like TC said, grew up in Oklahoma, and when you grow up in Oklahoma, you just like football, and you become very vested in sports. Went to high school. TC and I moved to Utah, and I went to the University of Utah. Like he said, he went to BYU, and that's how our little rivalry got started. Of course, we both still cheer on the Sooners together, but definitely our main schools are Utah and the team down south.
So there we go. Truth be told, I am their cousin, and I have seen these two go at it for days over BYU and Utah football. So we're going to bring some of that fun to you. So let's jump right into it. All right. Now, we're 2 weeks away from the start of the season, and BYU has a quarterback controversy on their hands. So, TC, give us the rundown. Give us your thoughts. Who do you want to start and why? And who do you think will actually end up starting?
Yeah, so, you know, just a few weeks ago, I don't think anyone would have expected this. But, you know, Zach Wilson has come in and, you know, actually made quite a name for himself. He got to spring practice, spring camp, and fit in with the team, got to know the offense. And apparently, he has done extremely well. But I'll say this. Pretty much all the practices are closed to the media. There's very little information. You get, you know, a little bit of information leaking out from people who actually attend the live practices and scrimmages. But by all accounts, and they're minimal, he's outperforming Tanner Mangum. You know, the former MVP, co-MVP, elite quarterback from high school, you know, Mr. Miracle Man who came in and saved us versus Nebraska, you know, senior. So I think there's a big division within Cougar Nation on who should start. I'll say this. Here's my opinion. There's an old adage, and maybe this makes sense, maybe it doesn't, but the greatest swordsman in the world is not afraid of the second greatest swordsman in the world. He's afraid of the guy who's never picked up a sword. And with Tanner Mangum, you know what you get. And with Zach Wilson, you have no idea. He could be the next big thing. He could be a phenom. And I say let the kid run. I want him to start. I say go all out. Kalani doesn't have a very long leash. And so he could play it safe. And, you know, maybe we get to a bowl game, But if this kid really is a special talent, I say let him prove it against a pretty lackluster Pac-12 defense.
Okay, so you're saying give the ball to Zach Wilson and just let him figure it out. Throw him out there. He's the guy. He's the future. Let him go. Is that what you're...
I mean, I think the old school thought is you can't do that to a freshman. Their confidence will get burdened. You let them learn under the tutelage of, you know, a 24-year-old senior, and that makes sense. But look at the national championship from last game. In the second half, who did you have playing? Two true freshmen. And I just think you go with the old way of thinking things, and that's what BYU's problem has been for the past several years. They think they can line up, play smash mouth football, and do things the old way, and they can't. They have to look for a new direction, and this kid, I think, gives them a new direction. And he might be something special. We don't know because we haven't seen the film. But, you know, there are true freshmen that go in and make an impact. And I say let this kid have a chance and do it.
Yeah. Okay. Great point about the national championship. Very good point about that. All right. So, K-Ray, from a Utah perspective, let's fast forward to the end of the season. You're playing BYU tomorrow. Based on everything you know, who would you not want to face in that game? Tanner Mangum or the freshman phenom?
Yeah. So, first of all, lackluster Pac-12 defense. I'm not sure if you're talking about Cal that you're playing or if you're talking about Utah, because Utah does not have a lackluster defense.
No, I'm talking about Arizona. Arizona's the first game.
Oh, Arizona. I see. I thought we were talking Utes versus BYU here on this particular podcast.
You can definitely see the inferiority complex.
My mistake. You know, I can promise you Arizona is not scared of either one of your quarterbacks. And to answer your question, who would we rather see at the end of the year, or who would we not want to see? At this point, the one that's shown the most fire is Bo Hodge. That's who I don't want to see. I think TC has a good point. We don't know where we're getting with Wilson. Certainly would like to see him succeed. We'd like to see the rivalry pick up and have some competitive games again, frankly. But definitely Wilson. We don't want to see him just because we don't know him. We will take Tanner Mangum any day. Bring him on.
Okay. All right. There we have it. All right. So BYU fan says bring in Zach Wilson. Utes fan says, bring on Tanner Mangum. All right. This should be interesting. Now, I'm going to throw in my two cents here. I think you have to throw in Tanner Mangum just because of the psychological effects that has on an entire team. You have to start him, because if you start a freshman who gets frazzled the first game, they end up getting just embarrassed. Then what do? Then you bring in a senior quarterback who you just diminished his self-confidence, saying, oh, we didn't want you in here in the first place. Then the entire team is like, oh boy, okay. It just messes with the entire team's psyche that, okay, who's our leader? Our freshman is not a phenom at all. Our senior here, the coaches didn't even want him. No one trusts him. I mean, you're just one game in and you have literally a catastrophe on your hands just because you didn't start the senior. I think if you start the senior, it's easy to bring in the freshman. It's really easy. And I mean, the fact that the freshman sitting on the sidelines watching always helps, because they learn from the mistakes that the experienced guy makes. And then you always have hope. The team has hope. The team psychologically has hope that they're to help us in case we get into trouble. So there's my two cents. But let's move on to our next topic here. So BYU has a new offensive coordinator, Mike Grimes. What impact is he going to have on the program, and how big of an impact can he make his first year? TC, let's hear your thoughts on that.
Just one correction. It's Ed Grimes. I think you meant to say Ed Grimes. But people are thinking he's, you know, the greatest hire ever, and you know he's going to come in and save the program. I mean, we haven't even seen one snap, you know, under his Tootledge as offensive coordinator. So I guess I'm waiting to see what actually transpires on the field. All reports from camp are is the team is much more disciplined with him at the helm of the offense. So I hope he does great things. But I will say this, you know, he says he's going to copy a lot from his former offensive coordinator that he was under at LSU. And, you know, I watched a lot of offenses when he was at Pitt and LSU, this offensive coordinator. It's a lot of movement before the snap, and then it doesn't seem like much ingenuity thereafter. So I hope he does comes in and does great things. You know, frankly, I'm going to reserve my thoughts until I actually see a snap on the field.
Okay. It looks like we both said it wrong. I said Mike Grimes. You said Ed Grimes. It's Jeff Grimes. Oh, where we're getting that from. Okay. So, all right. K-Ray, Utah perspective on BYU's new offensive coordinator. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not sure who their offensive coordinator is.
Jeff, we don't even know Zach who he is.
Who do you guys got running that show? I say bring back Ty Detmer. That's my that's all I've got to say on the topic.
Oh yeah, yeah. We, Utes fans really love Ty. He did you guys a real favor there. That's true. All right. So our TC, our BYU expert here. Neither of us knew the guy's name, and now you're saying you're not excited about him. You think he's not going to be that impactful, I mean, as far as, like, turning the program around.
Well, you know, the one thing that kind of gave me hope was when Merrill Hodge was going off on the BYU coaches, and he kept saying, you know, they're installing this gimmicky, gadgety offense. You know, quite frankly, I would welcome that. I mean, again, I just say BYU under Ty Detmer, you know, decided they were going to just line up, play smash mouth football, and we don't have the athletes to do that. And we have to get a little gadgety and gimmicky. And so I hope that's the case. But, you know, frankly, again, this guy's never been an offensive coordinator yet. I hope he comes in. But at a minimum, at least from the accounts and the reports that you hear, he is installing a little more discipline. The offensive line seems to be vastly improved. So I'm hoping that transpires into actual results on the field. And yes, Jeff Grimes, my apologies. I know who the guy is. Yeah. I will say this. He can only get better than Ty Detmer. I think we ranked near the very bottom of all Division I teams last year in offensive output.
That is a good point. It cannot get much worse than the past two seasons. Absolutely true. Wow, that makes his job fairly easy if you look at it that way. You know, to come and actually make an impact nationally and to beat Utah, well, that's a different story. So, speaking of which, now BYU has lost some big time players and recruits to Utah over the past couple years. A few of the big names that come to mind are Francis Bernard, Mika Tofua. So why do you think that is, and what needs to happen to reverse that trend?
Yeah, really quickly, I'll speak up. When Kyle Whittingham shows up with flowers at the airport welcoming home, what fruit doesn't necessarily help. But, you know, you got to give it to the Utes. They've been winning. BYU hasn't. That's the ultimate factor, is BYU just has to win. When you look at the two programs, yeah, the first few years of independence, there was a disparity in schedules, but the schedules aren't that much different. BYU actually gets much more national exposure on TV. The difference is BYU isn't winning the games head to head. And then last year was a debacle. So, that's going to be the ultimate deciding factor, I think. And that's why you see some of these players switching over to the dark side.
All right, K-Ray, give us your thoughts. Give us your thoughts on this topic here.
So, first of all, I didn't know you're so jealous of Kyle's flowers. That's interesting take there. Second of all, in terms of why people leave BYU to go to Utah, I there's obviously several reasons, right? I could give a snarky response like they want to play for a winner or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, they don't want to play against McNeese State on BYU TV. they would rather play against Oregon on national TV. So, you say, it's the Pac-12 network. Well, it's still not McNeese State. Let's be honest.
I mean, who are you guys playing first game of the season this year?
We're playing our former coach and player Jay Hill and the team that he coaches, Weber State.
Oh yeah, Weber State. That's a big upgrade from McNeese State. That's
good. The difference is that's our first game. That's our warm up. You are Arizona's warm up for the rest of their season. So that's the difference here.
We'll see. We were Arizona's warm up 2 years ago, and they came away limping off the field.
That's true. I guess that's why we play, right? And certainly BYU has a chance in that game and in several of the games they play this year, including McNeese State. But I think that, you know, to really answer the question, I think that, you know, look, does the honor code play a role? I don't know, maybe. I think it actually plays a role more for those out-of-state recruits than it does the in-state LDS recruits, or even the out-of-state LDS recruits that Utah sometimes gets over BYU. I think at the end of the day, it's just that, you know, these kids have grown up. Utah's won 7 in a row. I mean, since they've been in high school, Utah's beat BYU every time. And you just can't say that doesn't influence their decision. It does.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that's why I said ultimately it comes down to winning, and that's the one game that's the most important game on the schedule. They have to win because it gets the recruits, and it kind of turns things around, at least in the local market there.
Yeah, well, that ends up becoming a chicken versus egg thing for BYU, because you're supposed to win to get recruits, but you need recruits to win, and that's how BYU ends up in the position they are now, which is one of the worst offensive teams in the country. So now, speaking of players, local players right from Utah County that you would think would choose BYU over Utah and didn't, one of them, Chase Hansen, you know, from Highland, Utah, Mormontown, USA, he now plays as a linebacker for Utah's defense. So, K-Ray, give us some of your thoughts on Utah's defense this season.
Yeah, look, they've got a really strong group. There's really three players that are going to stand out this year, I think, or that I'll be watching. The first is Marquise Blair from Wooster, Ohio, which is Wooster is a suburb of Akron, which is basically a part of the Cleveland metropolitan area, and he hits harder than anybody on the team. He is tenacious, and he's fast. He's quick. He got injured at the end of last year, cut his year short, but he's coming back for his senior season here, and he is on a mission. Chase Hansen, you just mentioned him, moved from safety to linebacker. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out now that Francis Bernard is in the system and practicing and on the team. Yeah, Chase is a leader on the team, and he has given his heart and soul to this program. He was a quarterback at Lone Peak, and he came in, switched over to defense, and has done everything they've asked him to do. And he's an NFL talent, potentially a late round pick. And I'm really excited to see what he does his senior season. I really hope he can stay healthy. He's had some injury problems in the past. And then Jalen Johnson, our 4-star cornerback, sophomore out of California. He had offers from everywhere, including our own Oklahoma Sooners. And he's a shut down corner. Those three guys are going to anchor that defense and do incredible things this year. I think, and they'll be the ones I'll be watching.
Hey, K-Ray, answer me this. Does Chase Hansen still walk around talking with an Australian accent? I guess there were stories that after he got home, in order to attract the ladies, he tried to pick up an accent from his mission.
To be honest with you, I don't worry about the dating life of the players on the team, so I can't answer that question.
So apparently Kyle Whittingham was very enthralled by it, which helped at the greeting at the airport.
All right, another guy, real quick, Britton Covey. Is he gonna have an impact, or does the mission just kill it for players?
No. His middle name is Impact. I mean, that guy is phenomenal. And actually, Double C, you actually look a lot like Britton. I think you guys could be you guys could be twins. Hey, actually,
don't give away my cover, man. I hope you're gonna know what I look like on the streets.
Good looking guy. He must be a good looking guy.
No, he's look. There's certainly some mission rust potentially. But he's just a freak athlete anyway. I think he's gonna be just fine.
Okay, all right. So we got our thoughts on the Utah's defense, which I agree they typically have a really tough defense, and it really does help them win games. And this season is no different. I mean, I think they're even better than the past several years, so it should be fun to watch. All right. So what players are flying under the radar? And who do you think will kind of have a big impact this season that no one's really talking about? So let's start with BYU. TC, who do you got?
You know, a player that I really would like to see given a chance is the running back Riley Burt. The guy was a track star in high school. He has breakaway home run hitting speed, and he just hasn't gotten that many carries. I think there was some kind of dispute with the coaches last year. He got moved to defense, then he got moved back to running back. He just hasn't had that many opportunities on the field. So I think he could be our best running back if given the chance. But, you know, no one really knows because he hasn't seen much playing time. So that's a player I'd keep my eye on, especially with the new offensive staff. You know, maybe they have a more open mind with him. But you know, there's rumors that he puts the ball on the ground quite a bit. But that's somebody that I'd keep my eye on. And then defensively, our linebacking core seems to be pretty stout. We got Butch Powell coming back. Taki Taki's moving from defensive end back to linebacker, and I think he could have a big impact as well. So it depends on if they use him in blitzing situations or not. But I don't know if he'd necessarily fly under the radar, but in a new position, he could do big things for the defense.
Okay, K-Ray, who do you got?
Yeah, we have a tight end just coming off a mission to Nicaragua. His name is Cole Fotheringham, and he's our stud tight end. Utah has not traditionally, at least in the last few years, used their tight ends extensively, and I'm really excited to see what this guy brings. We've got actually a couple of tight ends that are looking good this year. But you mentioned Britton Covey. Everyone's excited to see him, and I'm most looking forward to the impact that Solomon Enos will have. He is a freshman from Arizona. His father was Curtis Enos of Penn State fame and Chicago Bears fame, and he was a big time recruit. And by all accounts, he's already impressing early in camp this year.
Nice. There we go. All right. So let's wrap this up. At the end of each podcast, we like to talk briefly kind of on the national scene, some of the big upcoming games each week. Since we don't have any games coming up next week, let's hear your playoff predictions. What four teams are going to be fighting for the crown at the end of the season? So TC, who do you got?
Yeah. So, man, it's hard not to be boring when you ask this question, because everyone's going to say Alabama, Oklahoma State, Clemson, and then maybe a fourth team. I'm actually going to throw Alabama out this year and put Georgia in. And here's why I say that, because Jake Fromm, who was their true freshman quarterback last year, grew by leaps and bounds. And Alabama has this quarterback controversy going on right now. And we talked about the potential distraction that could have for BYU. I think that's a distraction now for Alabama. I think they could get bit early. I don't have their schedule in front of me. Alabama usually front loads their schedule with some softies, much like the Utes,
or the Wildcats, or Arizona.
But I'll throw in Georgia. I'll take Ohio State simply because their schedule shapes up nicely. It's kind of like Wisconsin's last year. I really wanted to pick Miami, but when they lost Berrios, I think he's on the Pats now. He was a playmaker, and with them gone, I'm going to have to go with Clemson. And then my fourth team, I'd love to see Oklahoma back in there. I'm actually going to go with Notre Dame this year. And they had a really strong season last year, and they kind of fell off towards the end. But I could see them coming back and running the table. And we all know, all things being equal, if there's a one-loss team, it's going to be Notre Dame or Alabama who gets that nod. And I would bet, you know, Notre Dame gets it. They don't have that extra game, that conference championship. So it's one less obstacle they have to face at the end of the year.
Wow. Okay. That's some interesting picks there. Yeah. You make a good case for each of them, but that is, yeah, definitely some surprisers in there. That's interesting. All right. K-Ray, what do you got?
Yeah. So I Alabama and Clemson, you can almost pencil them in. They're just powerhouses. And I don't see that stopping this year. Admittedly, I thought that maybe Georgia could unseed them. I'm not a Georgia buyer yet. I need to see another year out of them. Auburn could be sneaky good in the SEC, but I'm going with Alabama, Clemson, and then it gets a little interesting. But I think Washington is really, really good. Jake Browning. Miles Gaskin. I'm not sure I remember college football without those two. It seems like they've been there forever. But they are legitimately good. So I got Alabama, Clemson, Washington, and then I'm going with Penn State. Saquon Barkley's gone, but I really like James Franklin as coach there, and their quarterback Trace McSorley is a baller. He's his 3-year starter now, and I think Wisconsin's overhyped. And Michigan's still trying to get up to speed. I'm not a Michigan State buyer, so I think Penn State could run the table and make it in.
Hey, newsflash, folks. A Ute fan thinks a Pac-12 team deserves a shot in the championship here.
they are ranked in the top 5 in the nation, so.
It takes to be in the top 4.
Okay. This is true. Yeah. So the Utes fans are notorious for cheering on the Pac-12 a little more than the other Pac-12 teams are.
and let me get this straight. A BYU fan picked an independent to go to the college football playoff. So.
Okay. Yeah, good point. Touché. Good point there, yes. All right. Well, I got Alabama, Clemson, Wisconsin, and Washington. I mean, I think Alabama, the way they still won the national championship by even juggling the two quarterbacks and how they came out with that, that was impressive. So I don't think the quarterback controversy will affect them much. Clemson, they got two Heisman Trophy candidates on there. I mean, I think they'll be in there. Washington, like you're saying, they're tough. I think they're a legitimate team this year. And a team that both BYU and Utah play. So that should be interesting.
Yep.
Wisconsin, that's my other pick. I honestly think the Urban Meyer controversy will have an impact at Ohio State. So I don't think they're going to make it. I think Wisconsin's a lot tougher. They have a lot more athletic guys on that team with a lot more experience. So I think they're going to run it this year. Watch for Wisconsin. They could be my dark horse. I think they could actually end up winning it all.
Huh.
So, all right. Now that wraps up our podcast for this week. Next week, we'll talk about how long Satake has at BYU. How does the outcome of this season play into Satake's longevity and career at BYU? We'll talk about what's at stake this season for BYU, and we'll talk about how our very own TC may have single-handedly forced Bronco Mendenhall out as head coach and brought in Ty Detmer as offensive coordinator at BYU. No joke, our very own TC may actually be responsible for the nightmare that was BYU's previous two seasons. We'll have a couple other fun topics next week, so we hope to catch you guys on the flip next week.
Peace. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.